This is a branded podcast from Latitude Studios.
Amanda Lee started her career as a mechanical engineer, working on fuel cell vehicles. She thought she wanted to help invent new transformative energy technologies, until one day she looked around and realized she didn't have the patience.
I was in a lab and by myself, testing with this microscope and this giant fire suppression device next to me. I realized I had not seen a human in like 8 hours straight. And this project I was on would take a year to even be able to see whether there was a good output to it.
Most experts believe we already have the technologies to hit 80% of the carbon reductions needed to stabilize global temperatures. The big challenge is getting that tech financed and built at the trillion-dollar scale, and fast. So Amanda decided to leave the lab and focus her energy on executing projects.
I think at the end of the day, wanted to be on more of the deployment side, right? That even though I'm not one for the lab, that I can make a huge impact and grow with this exploding industry.
After stints in research and consulting, Amanda went to Generate Capital, where she worked on deals in solar and storage as part of a billion-dollar sustainable infrastructure fund. And that's where she discovered a problem that often slows down the tech that's ready for deployment.
I was originating deals, underwriting them, working on capital markets work, and all of it was in spreadsheets, Word documents, emails. When you look at, for example, a solar deal, right? There's a lot of documentation, a lot of counterparties to deal with, and that information needs to be processed somehow. And it felt like we were spending a lot of time just trying to process the information, paying expensive lawyers to help validate it and run a closing process. And then ongoing, it doesn't stop, right? You need to continue to understand compliance, cash flows, performance of the asset for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, right? And constantly understand whether it's meeting your forecasts. And again, all of that, very manual.
And this problem has only grown over time as more distributed assets need financing. And policies like the Inflation Reduction Act support smaller clean energy projects at the community level.
Going from those billion-dollar investments to $100 million, $50 million, now we're going into distributed where it's $10 million, $5 million, $1 million. Guess what? A $1 million deal is more simple than a billion-dollar deal, but not 1,000 times less. It still has its own contracts, counterparties, models to deal with all of that.
In 2018, Amanda co-founded Banyan Infrastructure, a software platform that simplifies transactions for a wide range of sustainable infrastructure projects. The company has raised more than $42 million and works with green banks, Wall Street firms, and local lenders to make deals simpler.
If at every single layer there aren't standards, there aren't connected processes, and there's a continued reliance on needing to reprocess, refigure out what's going on, it's going to move really slowly down the stack of understanding whether we can fund, and incredibly slow back up the stack as well to figure out whether this is working or not.
In this episode, produced in collaboration with Banyan Infrastructure, we explore the shifting world of sustainable finance. Stephen Lacey talks with Banyan COO Amanda Lee about solving financial bottlenecks, how the IRA is bringing in new players to the market, and what it will take to unlock trillions of dollars per year for the energy transition.
So let's talk a little bit about the Inflation Reduction Act. And there are certain incentives in the IRA that are helping push many of these smaller deals. So creating higher volumes of these smaller deals and accelerating funding in local communities as well. So what are some of the areas of interest within the IRA that you are specifically focused on?
Yeah, when it came out, we were so excited that a lot of these smaller communities, disadvantaged communities, were getting a big boost, right? There is the low-income tax adders, of course, and also the $27 billion greenhouse gas reduction fund, all focused at really deploying capital towards disadvantaged communities, as well as deploying capital towards local lenders. Super exciting, but where we were focused on that was like, wow, this is capital allocated towards the smallest of deals, often to counterparties and projects that prior financiers found unbankable or developers thought were not worth the time because it's a complicated deal and very tiny. And now there are all these incentives and discrete funds that are saying deploy towards that direction, right? Fantastic for those communities, But all of a sudden, a discrete problem that I was very interested in solving because we saw that the problem is going to be incredibly acute.
So let's dig a little bit more into the new players that are entering the market. The Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund is encouraging a lot of new financial players to come in and finance some of these smaller deals like community development financial institutions. How are they starting to evaluate this market and what do they need to know about getting some of these deals done?
Yeah, that is one of the most incredible parts of that $27 billion is it's earmarked not only for helping scale existing green banks and institutes, but really encourage that the local CDFIs, the local lenders that have the relationships with the communities should be also developing solar programs, EV charger programs, energy efficiency programs for their communities. I think what's really exciting here about the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund is not only are funds flowing to existing green banks and community lenders who do solar or energy efficiency, it's encouraging and even earmarking dollars for the local community lenders that already have community relationships, right? It's going to be easier to deploy that capital if you already know that local farmer or local small business because you have that relationship. But you might be a CDFI that's never done solar before. And those are some of the entrants that are coming into this space, right? Hundreds of local financing institutes that for the first time have earmarked funding to say, build a solar program, build an energy efficiency program. And that is incredibly exciting because they bring a wealth of knowledge around how to invest in their communities. But it's also a challenge because they've never done this before. And we need to figure out very quickly how to create standards, processes, systems to make it so it's not years for them to figure it out. Can we really create solar financing in a box, project finance in a box, where we say, hey, here's a program, here are the types of loans you can give, the credit box, the type of underwriting, and the things you need to track ongoing. And if you do that, you can deploy that capital in a safe manner that will yield the returns and impacts you need. And we feel incredibly excited to be able to help with that, right? You know, software is a great medium for driving standards and driving sort of best practice, right? I always like to joke that I have no idea how to file, you know, taxes, right, or how the U.S. tax system works. But through TurboTax, right, I click some buttons and it really guides me to what I really need to know. And we can't simplify solar or storage to be that easy, but we can definitely make it to streamline it a little bit so it becomes more accessible to these local lenders.
Can you give me some examples of projects that have used the platform that have been easier to finance and execute?
Yeah, I think there's at the higher level, right, the larger banks that are coming in. We've worked with SMBC, for example, and they were like, you know, from their perspective, look, anything under $100 million would be really difficult to invest in because of such a taxing process they have upfront and ongoing. When we sort of did the end-to-end analysis for where we could save time, we were showing anywhere from 15 to 60% savings on their processes that go through the origination and underwriting flow, right? That means that, you know, over 2x in some places of like being able to increase velocity of deals, which means that they could not only save, you know, time, money, resources, all of that, but be able to come into smaller markets. That's sort of like how we think about larger banks and funds coming into smaller places, smaller banks and funds projects. But as we think about green banks in particular, we've also worked with green banks. I saw that one was spending over 1,400 hours just on compliance, right? Like not on portfolio management, not on originating and underwriting, just on keeping compliance of key obligations, almost an entire person doing that. And as we think about the types of local banks and CDFIs that are going to be deploying money to local communities, they don't have that extra resource available to just be managing that paperwork to make sure things are in compliance. This definitely needs to be streamlined and automated. And it's a better experience for everyone around as well to be alerted and reminded that you need to submit material.
So what about big banks on Wall Street? If I'm at a big bank, why should I care about this issue? Is there a broader opportunity for them as well?
Oh, for sure. I mean, we speak to plenty of big banks where there is interest in diversifying and saying, how can I approach DG, right? How can I make that platform play? How can I refinance a bundled portfolio? And often they're looking at it and saying, hey, there's not the types of deals that we can do it, or we're not too sure how, or it doesn't look standardized. It seems like too much work, right? And here we have instead capital that may be catalytic, capital that will be forced to be standardized, an incredible opportunity for larger investors to come in and be able to get a refinance portfolio, invest in themselves, and participate with a degree of protection, right, from the nature of these funds. Broadly overall, though, it should be exciting because if standards do exist, we are really accelerating Wall Street to come in and make it more normalized to be able to recycle that capital from the DG space, right? The number of investors we hear that still say, oh, it's too hard, it doesn't work, it's not worth our time, again, is still too many. And so if it can work for this smaller pool of $27 billion, it can definitely work for the larger pool of many more billions that are already in play in the DG space.
We need to get the broad sustainable infrastructure market to the multi-trillion dollar scale. When you think about that level of scale, what does success look like to, you know, unlock the value of the incentives that will ultimately drive that investment?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, to unlock value in this industry, both for the incentives, but broader, it is really making proper connected capital markets, right? Where we see the most money is at the top of this funnel, and then it starts to bottleneck as it starts to get more and more towards the front lines, right? And where what you see in more efficient capital markets and other industries, when you want to bundle and trade, when you want to refinance, right? You know, in certain industries, you could log into a Bloomberg terminal and make a same-day trade, right? And yet private market infrastructure is a black box. Instead, it's like, here's my data room with 10,000 documents. Let's engage in a multi-month process to understand whether I want to make an investment or not. And then ongoing, I don't have, like, you know, easy monitoring of risk and easy a single number that says, here is whether it's, you know, good or bad. Instead, I'm also continue to do this process. And so it looks very different from efficient markets. In order for us to meet this multi-trillion dollar goal, we need to move to that efficient marketplace system. Now, not to say that we'll ever get to the point of, like, you know, the Bloomberg terminal, right, or a FICO score for solar, but we could definitely take baby steps towards that, right? Where we need to be able to make it so as you go from a developer to an IPP, from that to a bank, to a larger bank, to a pension fund, it's really clear what the criteria is. It's really easy to transact. It's really easy to bundle and trade or to securitize. And that means that we have the maximum number of really smart and mission-oriented people focused on analyzing, finding alpha, analyzing data, and doing transactions, rather than a significant portion of time just doing overhead.
So you've been at this for about 6 years trying to tackle this specific problem. How optimistic are you that you will bring mass efficiency in the market as things really scale up?
Very optimistic here. I think that basically everyone seems to understand that technology plays a part and is more trying to grasp with where technology plays. So excited that will come. But incredibly excited for this narrow area with again, the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund, which is that we have a pre-built ecosystem that can drive standards, right? When we thought about standards at Banyan, we were like, it will be organic, right? We're going to get a developer here, a lender there, a sponsor there. They all use the platform, and they all want to track IRR the same way. So organically, we're going to start to create a best practice. With the GGRF, we are seeing there's going to be a centralized entity for some of them that's deploying to sub-entities. And so I can't imagine that funding will work unless everyone is coordinated to do things in a similar manner and with similar systems. We are going to now create a small market that all uses technology, that all uses a standard. And if that works, we can really deploy it to all of DG and then from DG to all of utility scale, right? No reason why even at the highest levels, you shouldn't be finding the efficiencies through technology.
Amanda Lee, COO and co-founder of Banyan Infrastructure. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Infrastructure is simplifying and accelerating sustainable infrastructure financing. Built for banks, investors, and developers, the platform oversees and automates complex and time-consuming processes in origination and compliance management for sustainable assets. To get a demo, visit BanyanInfrastructure.com or click the link in the show notes.